righteousness. Our position, we have been made righteous. Today we're going to talk more about our position of righteousness. David spoke on Wednesday evening. I encourage you to listen online or get the CD, whichever way you choose to receive that message, to hear more. He spoke more. My takeaway from what he shared was more on how we need to be using our mouth to speak our position of righteousness and to walk in it, because it is a part of us that God created. Our mouths, they should be being used for good things. And so anyway, I encourage you to listen to it. Wonderful to be feeding on this subject. Autumn will be sharing Wednesday night on the subject of righteousness. Autumn, what did you say you were going to share more on? The things that are unrighteousness, things that, sin consciousness. She's going to focus more on that. So I want, the more we can saturate ourselves with this subject, the better off we'll be, because it's an important, it's an imperative subject for the body of Christ to be walking in. And I feel, as I had shared some things, I'm going to repeat from last week, just bear with me as I recap some things. And I'm trusting the Lord's going to speak through me, because I don't want you to hear me. I have lots to say, but you don't want to hear that. You want to hear from him. I want to hear from him. And so, but we shared last week the vastness of this subject of righteousness. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's about 617 references to righteousness. And there's about 211 in the New Testament. That's a pretty big subject. I want to say I looked up faith. I want to say there's about 1,200 references between the two books. Or two testaments, Old and New Testament. And so, as you can see, this is a pretty big subject. So, if we go by that alone, with how many references there are with that word in it, we could say that the Lord wants us to know about our righteousness, who we are as the righteousness of God in Christ, what it means to be righteous, how we flow in that position of righteousness, which, again, I'm going to talk more about today. But before we get into flowing in that position, I want to remind you as well, one of the definitions of righteousness that we've heard is it's the ability to stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt or condemnation or shame. If you walk in shame, condemnation, or guilt, it's evidence that you are struggling with knowing who you are in Christ, that righteous position. That's all it means, okay? That's all that means. So if you can say, yeah, I struggle with that, then say, okay, I need to perk my ears up a little better today, because I need to hear the answer to get me out of those things. That's the key right there. Yes, there's other things that make you feel guilty and condemn you and all. Yes, but when you boil all the water out of the pot, what's going to be left is righteousness. You need to know you're righteous. So we're going to keep pounding on this subject and pounding on it today in the brief time we have together, because I want you to know you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You didn't do it. Christ did it. He made you. He qualified you and me to be righteous, to stand before his very presence, unashamed, without guilt. Say amen. Amen. It's truth. Dot the period on the end of that sentence. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. I said last week, that is one of the first scriptures I learned when I got saved, was that I have been made righteous. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't know what it means, but I know that that's what I am. And praise the Lord, it was a seed that stuck in me. Did I always walk in the knowledge of it? Negative. But I'll tell you what, it never left me. Because those hard days when you're sitting on the floor alone with nobody, nothing, and you're wondering, what am I doing here? Those words begin to bubble up in you. And now you have an option. Do I yield to those, what's in me, or do I yield to the outside circumstances that are saying everything opposite? The power of God's word is incredible. Incredible. There's life attached to his word. That's why this is vital to look into. This is the mirror. This is who you are. This is what you can do. Do you understand that? Righteous in the Greek means innocent, just, and right. It does not mean you're holy. Let's separate it. Holiness is different than righteousness. Righteousness is who you are. It's what you are. It's the nature of God. Holiness is your conduct. It's what you do. It's how you are. When the revelation of your place and your position, you automatically begin to walk out a holier life. If you struggle with sin, if you struggle with teetering and things, messing in the world and playing with things in the world, dabbling here, dabbling there, thinking, I'm in church today, but tonight I'm going to go party, I'm going to have a good time. If you're in that, it's evidence you don't know that you're made righteous. When you understand, I'm made righteous, you walk different, you talk different, you act different. You're worthy of his presence. And you say, I don't want to disappoint the Father. He made me right. Why am I going to go do this stuff for this flesh to be satisfied, only to find out tomorrow that fleshly thing isn't satisfying me today? I have no power. I have no strength. I have no ability to think clearly. I'm depleted of all this stuff, all because why? I just wanted to play in the world a little bit. When you're righteous, when you know this, when you understand, and again, this isn't something that you're going to say. It's not like, I feel like sometimes we make it a works thing, and it isn't works. Revelation, let me say it that way. Revelation of who you are, the righteousness of God in Christ. That revelation comes to the spirit man, okay? It's not in your head. It's here. It's in here. And so whenever you are faced with things, when we walk out of this place and somebody pulls out in front of you and you have a opportunity to go, blah, 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 and you say, oh, no, it's because something in here, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Mm-mm. Yeah, that person shouldn't have done that, but we have a choice to make at that point. And when you have revelation that you've been made righteous, you've been made right to stand before the Father, you're innocent, you're free of guilt and shame and every other thing, unworthiness, you think that isn't worth it. That isn't worth me venting on somebody that don't even get to hear it. I mean, how much of our blah isn't even somebody hears it? They have no idea. They're la 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 down the road. Ha ha, I passed that person. Down they go. And you're like letting them have it. God hears it. They never heard it. They didn't care less what you said. But yet we feel justified and dignified and blah, because we let them have it. Boy, the devil got us hoodwinked, right? We lose the blessing of the Lord. We put ourselves in a place that is not good. And then we're like, Oh man, I feel so bad. I did that. Oh man. Do you see how this works? If we just say, no, I'm going to allow that revelation. I'm made righteous. I'm made righteous. And that begins to grow and it begins to develop in you, which will affect your conduct. You understand? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. We're going to go through some foundational scriptures this morning. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this position of righteousness I want us to see, because we walk in a position. This is a place. This is a position that you walk in. And when you get revelation of that you've been made righteous, now you got to do something with it. You got to begin to operate in that position. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that position, how you operate in that position. Again, it's not a one and done. This knowledge of this understanding and this growing in this truth is the rest of our life. You understand? We're not going to walk away from here and find ourselves got it all figured out. Why? Because God's Word's living, and as we continue to feed on His Word, we get greater revelation of things, which take us to different places in our walk. Plus, there's other attacks on our lives. There's different things that come at us, try to steal what's been sown in our heart out of us. So there's a lot of things going on in the spiritual realm, but it's really important that we continue to keep in front of us the Word so that we allow this Word wash over us. Some of us have come today. I know a couple of the ladies talked about how they struggle with things when they went to kindle the flame. They allowed that Word there. It's here too. Trust me, the Word's here too. But when you get yourself out of that realm, see, when we're here, sometimes we're so busy thinking about everybody beside us and what we got to do when we get home, we don't shut things off. But when you go away, you shut those things off. Because you have to. But I want to tell you, don't allow those things to steal from you. Because you need this every day. Every week you need to be hearing from God while you're here. He speaks to you every day, all day long. But there's a purpose of you coming here. Okay? So I don't want to discourage you from going to Kindle the Flame or any of these men's groups. Because there's a lot more to it, as you heard this morning. But God's speaking to you here. Don't think, well, I'll never hear from God because I got to go to Oklahoma to hear from God because those ladies told me that. It's just that we got to, there you're away and your mind's off of your stuff. You can't do anything. Do that now. Disconnect those things right now. You're trying to pull your mind away from hearing from God today. Watch God move. Don't even have to be something I say. It probably won't be something I say. It's probably what he'll say to you. It's what he will say to you. 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I'm jumping around. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. 5. We're going to start at verse 17. Cutting in here, but let's just begin here. I'm reading now the NLT. Anyone who belongs to Christ is become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God brought us back to himself, God, through Christ. We talked about a little bit about this last week. Our relationship, God established a relationship with us as people with Adam and Eve. He made a creation of man and a woman, and he longed for the fellowship. He longed for the relationship with his creation. That has not changed. God still longs and desires relationship with us and fellowship with us. That's never changed. It never will change. From Adam being, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that was cut off. Shump, done. He cannot talk to his creation anymore because sin got in the way. But God made a way. And we just read it right here. It was, he brought us back to himself through Christ. When we say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I make you Lord of my life. Guess what happens? We are brought back to him through Christ. Through Christ. It's not us. It's him. It's what Christ did. So he's longed for this relationship with you and I. He's desired it. He wants it. He still wants it. Even if you're born again, which I trust we are in this room, born again, that's why we say, talk to God in prayer. Talk to him. Read his word. This is fellowship. This is relationship with him. When we say, I'm too busy. Can't pray. I don't have time. We say, I don't want a relationship with you. God's like, I want a relationship with you. So much so that I gave my one and only son to restore this with me and you so I can talk to you. So you can learn about me and I can help you because I have victory plans for you. I have stuck with those words that Patty said and they just resonate in me. Victory plans for you. But they're not going to come through some cloud. They're not going to come through some mystical way that you think. They come his way, his word, speaking to your spirit. So he wants this relationship with you and me. He's longed for it. He desires it. That's why he created you. Do you know that? Do you want to know your purpose? It's the fellowship with the Father. He loves us, church. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He does not say you're unworthy. And he definitely does not disqualify you for anything. Don't believe the lies. Believe the truth. This truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Truth. Truth. People say it's not truth. Like this is truth. This truth sets you free. People may say true statements, but this is truth. It penetrates the spirit. You understand the difference? Okay. This gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Let's skip down. I'm going to come back to that possibly if we have time. Verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This position of righteousness is nothing of our own. This is not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness says, I did this all myself. I have a PhD. I have a doctorate. I have a nice house. I have this. I have that. I accomplished this. I can do this. And you can't. The world is in self-righteousness. They just keep puffing themselves up, making all kind of money and having things and doing things and going places and all these accomplishments, all these great feats. They are self-righteous. It's called pride. I know this better than you. I can do that better than you. It's not what this is. As I said last week, this is a very humbling, very, very humbling position. When you know you're righteous, you're humbled to know that the Father God gave everything he had just so he could be in relationship with you. He counted what you did. He erases it. He erased it all when you accepted him. And he don't look back. He's not one of those people that dig up the past and say, oh, but you know what you did. He don't do that. It's gone. It's gone. He qualified you. He made you righteous. So anything that you hear other than what he says about you is not from him. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want you to see that it's God who made you righteous. In other words, when you receive Christ, you become in right position with the Father, period. I keep jumping ahead of myself. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. It's a gift of righteousness that we receive for all who receive it. So guess what? You need to receive this position. You need to receive what Christ has done for you. And when we say yes to Jesus, we receive it. So it's not something that's just going to fall on people because they're good moral people. They have to receive it, and that's through Christ. For all who receive it will live in triumph. Here's the good thing. Of those who do receive it, this is you and me if you've accepted Christ into your life. This is the end game here. You live in triumph over sin and death. That's good news. You live in triumph. You live in triumph over sin and death. So guess what? Sin does not have a hold on you. You can yield to it, absolutely. But there's this wonderful scripture in 1 John 1:9. and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins. He reinstates you right back into that wonderful position before him. Just one act. Father, forgive me. Right back you in. Now, all the stuff that you deal with in your head, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what you say to it. And you believe that truth over those lies. Got it? I'm helping you more than you know today. I'm helping myself. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see these things so we can walk in the victory that you've given us to walk in, Father. So he says here, verse, where am I at? I don't even know where I'm at. Chapter 5. I turn my page. Yes, Adam's one sin. We're verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness, Christ's one act of righteousness, do you see it? Can't read real well here today, my light. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, Jesus, that is, many will be made righteous. Romans chapter 3, just turn back a page or two for Romans chapter 3. You see that you've been made righteous? Are you seeing it in your Bible? This isn't Irene's textbook. This is called the Bible, the living word, God speaking to us. Romans chapter 3, 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God. Look at this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. Everyone. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. Do you believe that? Jesus sacrificed his life? Hello? Do you believe that? Then guess what? You've been made righteous. Shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Do you see it? Do you see it in your Bible? Are you convinced that God made you right in his sight? Do you believe that? Do you believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ? I want you to at least get on this place with me this morning. I want you to believe, be convinced, not because I'm saying, but because you're seeing it in the Bible, that God made you right with him in Christ. Romans 4:20. One more verse. Here we're talking about Abraham. Abraham, we're going to cut in here on verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and this he brought glory to God. He fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, remember, Abraham didn't have Jesus, but because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And we have to believe we're righteous because of our faith as well. Because we believe we're righteous by faith, rather, should I say. And when God counted him as righteous, it was just for Abraham's benefit. It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life. Look at this verse here. This was interesting to me. He was raised to life. So it wasn't just, I shouldn't say not, wasn't just. It wasn't only because of his death on the cross, but this verse shows us a little more of the picture, and it says he was raised to life. He was raised to life. So the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, it goes on to say, to make us right with God. So we need to believe not only that Jesus died and was rose from the dead, or that he not only was crucified and died, but his resurrection also was done to make us right with him. Amen. Are you with me on understanding through the word, not because of me, but through the word, that you've been made right? We could see it. So when we accept the Lord, does that make you perfect? Negative. It reinstates you spiritually, because this is what happened when we, before we got born again, it was our spirit man who needed to get born again. Understand, it's a spiritual thing. We live in a spiritual world. You are a spirit. 1 Thessalonians talks about you are a spirit. We're too focused on the exterior. We are a spirit. And we live in a body. We possess a soul. But we are a spirit. And we live in a spirit realm. Oh no, Irene, I see people. I see that. Oh. But if our eyes to the spirit realm were open, you'd see a lot more. A lot more. Angels, demons, all kind of activity rumbling through our atmosphere. You're a spirit. You are a spirit. You choose to do what you want with that spirit. Choose to yield to the wicked one. You can choose, as a born-again believer, you yield to the righteousness of God. That's why it's so important. One of the reasons, and here's where I want to just focus maybe a little bit of our time right now before we end here today. Why do we need to know we're right with God? Why do we need to walk in this position of righteousness? Well, number one, probably the most important thing, I think, reason why I would, I shouldn't say I, what I believe the Lord would have us see is because if you don't understand that you're, and we already touched on this a little bit, but I want to expound a little bit more on it. If you don't understand the position that you've been made righteous, you're going to walk in a mindset that you're unworthy. How does that mindset affect us? And I think I can say we all deal with it. We all deal with it one time or another, some days stronger than others. We all deal with feeling unworthy. And the reason why I say that is because how many times we go to approach the throne of God and we zoom through our mind of all the things that disqualify us from going before him. Well, I haven't been in prayer for a couple days. I didn't read my Bible yet. We go into this legalistic mindset and we start getting into that self-righteous, well, I can only approach his presence if I read his Bible, read the word for 5-10 minutes at least. If I did my confessions, oh, well, now if I've been there already once, if I've been talking with him all day long, I mean, we start, we're righteous. If you're righteous, you go before him. If you're self-righteous, you're going to have these rules, get guidelines. He says for us in Hebrews, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, if you're not coming boldly before the throne of grace, why not? He tells you you can. Why aren't you? Well, you know what I did today? All right, there we go. Evidence. Evidence. You don't see yourself as made righteous. Now, am I saying that you should just live any way you want and just go before God? Hey, God, you know, hey. No, I'm not saying that. I mean, there is a reverence before the Father, but I am saying that he doesn't see you if you're saved. Let me qualify that and keep qualifying that. If you've made him Lord of your life, this isn't for the average Joe out there who don't know nothing about Jesus. You understand? This is for the saints of God. And we're not stepping into this place where we should be, and it's affecting the worlds in which we're called to live in. That's the biggest thing. That is, we're called to be sharing the good news. But if we're not understanding who we are and walking in it, we're not sharing anything with anybody because we can't get over ourselves. Which ultimately says the kingdom of God is hindered. The kingdom of darkness is prevailing because the body of Christ is weak and debilitated because they can't get over who they are. They're too much involved in, I can't do that because God's mad at me. God's not mad at you. He said it. We've read multitude of verses of scripture today that says you've been made righteous. Walk in it. Walk in it. You're not disqualified. You're not unworthy. I'll tell you, if you just sit and think about that for a little bit, it'll change you. It will change you. Those things that have held you in bondage will begin to drop off. I guarantee you the reason that a lot of the body of Christ stays in sin, stays in things they shouldn't be doing, is because they don't know they are righteous. I know years ago, 30 plus years ago, I remember in our, pastor and I had gotten married. He was driving truck on the road all the time. And I was home. I had, because I was raised Catholic, I had a reverence for God. I'm thankful for that. However, I didn't know much. I always wanted to touch a Bible, have a Bible. I used to get my little Gideon New Testament in school. And, oh, I'd get into the beginning of Matthew and all the genealogy. And I'm like, oh, shut it. I couldn't get past it. Why didn't I read into the book? I stopped there. I never went any further. Why? I don't know. Anyway. But I always had an interest and a desire to serve God, but I couldn't because I was disqualified. You understand? I went to confession, which is all good and right, but, you know, half hour later, I'm back in my unrighteous state and didn't know that I was made righteous. But anyway, as you always, as I was growing up, and or whenever after Pastor and I got married and such, I couldn't. I wanted to serve God, and I ended up going with my sister-in-law to her Holy Roller Church, and it was crazy. Yeah. But yet, I so was like, oh my. I was totally thrown, because these people are standing in a circle and praying in tongues, and I'm like, oh, what is going on? And anyway, long story. But anyway, so I had that, and so I went to her church again. Because I longed to follow God. I wanted to know God. Our marriage was a mess. Poor little Justine was my little girl, and I had Chris, and our lives were just falling apart, and yet I wanted to serve this God. I didn't know how, and I felt helpless. But anyway, in that time of trying to search for the Lord and get to know him, I right away Pastor would come home all, you know, he'd be on the road all week, and he felt justified to go to the bar first. Because, you know, we have to do this. I have to go to the bar first because it's been a long, rough week. And me being a very naive and angry wife. He didn't want to come home to because he got the wrath of me. He needed to be a little whatever. Deal with me. True confession. Nevertheless, he would come home, and then it would be, you know, tension. And so I felt very defeated to try to walk this holy life. You understand? I'd go to church. I would say, oh, yes, this was good. I'd watch some TV, 700 Club and Kenneth Copeland. I think, oh, it just made me so happy. But yet the reality of him coming home and us having tension just defeated me. So what would I do? What did I do? Well, I went back to doing what I always did. Let's go party. Yeah, let's do it. Let's find somebody to watch a kids logo. Let's go out and let's get drunk. Let's do our thing. Let's do this. Let's do that. I can spew out venom out of my mouth toward you because you make me angry and I feel justified. Those things all hurt us so greatly. But I didn't know that I was made righteous. Do you understand? And so I just did what I always did because I didn't understand that. I didn't have that much light on the word. But I'm telling you today, you're getting a dose of this. So guess what? When we get taught the word, now we're responsible for what we do with it. When you know you're right, when you've seen in the word that you've been made righteous, now let's do something with it. And when you, what I started to say before I got off on my little story was, whenever we are tempted with things in the world, and I said it's evidence that you don't have a greater understanding of that you've been made righteous. But when you walk in light of it, when you start to begin to allow that word, those things will become less appealing to you, and you'll walk away from some of it. Those things that keep tripping you up, those things that you think you can justify in your mind. I can go, you know, tie one on tonight. Because I've had a rough day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, well, the Bible talks about drunkenness. So, you know, when we find those things as our crutch, instead of saying, no, Lord, I'm justified because I'm right with you, Lord. It's okay. And, you know, we could go that realm, but we can also go to other realms that aren't so obvious of sin. Now, we don't need to get into all these things, but I just want you to know, washing yourself with the truth of righteousness is going to help you in those areas that you struggle with, maybe that you keep reverting to in life, that hold you in bondage from walking on with the Lord. Because of those areas of bondage that keep tripping us up, that make us feel unworthy, it hurts you in the long run from being used of the Lord. And here's why I say that. The Bible tells us that we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you don't feel yourself worthy, you're not preaching to anybody. You're not doing anything. And listen, you don't have to be perfect. Your life is a witness to God. What you do for the Lord is we're all imperfect. He's not saying you're perfect. You're righteous. Righteous means you're innocent. He's not holding things against you. He's not angry with you. That's what it means. It don't mean you're perfect. So don't say something that the Bible isn't saying. Don't put your own twist on it. So whenever we become, let's look at Romans chapter 1. This is, in order for us to, we'll get to it in a minute. And we're going to, there's a harvest out there, church, that is waiting for people to share the good news. We live in a world that's very disrupted right now, and their hope is Jesus. I'm taking us way ahead right now. Maybe we'll swing back around here next week one more time and to cover some of this. But there's a hurting world out there. They need to know about the Lord. The Father God has called us to share the good news. And he says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I want you to see this. I have to see it first, though. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. The good news is the power of God at work. Let me say that again. The good news, which is the word of God, is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The good news tells us how God, look at this. Well, I don't know what your Bible says, but listen to how mine reads it. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. The world needs to know you're right in God's sight when you accept him. You know why people are so angry and so dysfunctional? Do you know why the attack on our young children and some of our adults, a lot of our adults, getting them tripped up in some of this crazy stuff? It's because they don't know they're right. They're running from God instead of to him. They're running from him, running as hard and fast as they can in the complete opposite direction from God. Because they think, if this God, how many have we heard this? If this God loved people, why did he allow that hurricane to kill people in Florida this past week? Why? Why would God do that? God didn't. But they think this God's in control of everything, and this God wouldn't do that if he's a really loving God like you people say he is. They don't know the truth. Don't let that rattle you. They don't know the truth. That's when you and me have an opportunity to share the good news. This good news. He's made you right with him. And this is why we need to be sharing this good news. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from verse 17. From start to finish by faith, as the scriptures say. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. Amen? Back in 2 Corinthians, we read some of this. I just want to hit this one spot of this because we started reading 2 Corinthians 5, 17. But he also says, 18. The second half of 18, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God, and this is in the middle of this verses of scripture about him telling us we're righteous, okay? He starts talking about this reconciliation place that we've been called to. Isn't that interesting? You got what I'm saying? He starts out by saying, this means anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person and old things. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And then he says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. This reconciliation through Christ. And then he starts talking about us being reconcilers to people. He says, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So we are Christ's ambassador. God is making his appeal through us. But if you have disqualified yourself, and if you have said that yourself is unworthy, you are not going to tell other people. You're not going to allow God to make his appeal through you. Because you're saying, I can't be used by God. I've done this. I can't do it. He's saying, oh, no, no, I've qualified you. I've made you righteous. Now you go and let me make appeals through you to other people, this lost and hurting world that's around us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Do you see this? God wants to use you and me to tell those that are lost and hurting, come back to God. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He hasn't called you unworthy. He hasn't disqualified you. I know you've done things that aren't right. I know that you've done things that you're ashamed of or things that were done to you. You You know, a lot of times we're victims of things that have been done to us. And we feel ashamed. And we feel violated. And we feel wronged. And we've disqualified ourselves because of what people have done to us. It might not even be something we did. But the enemy will beat you over the head. Well, if you weren't there, if you didn't say, if you didn't do what happened to you. Isn't he a liar? And you know what else? He's defeated. He's a defeated foe. And you say, when you hear them things, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He'll flee. We are called to reconcile people. And I think, I strongly believe with everything in me, this message of righteousness is so important for us to get a hold of, not only for ourselves, but for this lost and dying world that's out there. I'm telling you, I see it. I've seen it for a while, and I still see it. There's going to be people coming in here that say they're one thing and they're another. And we are in the business of reconciling people. We are not in the business of judging people. We want to bring people back to Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what they've done. Do you understand that? Things are wrapping up, church. Things are wrapping up. At a fast pace. We got to get busy about our Father's business. Today, I want you to understand you've been made righteous because of the shed blood of Jesus and only because of that. Only because of that. You cannot work for it. You can't. He reinstated us to him because of that blood that was shed on the cross. You might not understand all that. I can't say I do. But believe it. Believe it. Say yes, I believe it, Lord. In those days that are the hardest and the most tormentive to you, you stand up inside you and you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When you know that, you understand that you're more than a conqueror through Christ. You understand that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You understand that you're seated in this place, in heavenly places, far above all these principalities and powers. You walk in the authority that has been given to you. Anything less than that should send off a signal on the inside of you that says, I don't know, I'm righteous. And you say, I am the righteousness of God at that point. Every time you say it, there's this washing of the word that comes over you. Just imagine the Father God pouring water down, but it's his presence. And there's this cleansing happening over you, your mind, your spirit. It's washing the contaminants of the junk of the world, the junk of the lies of the enemy that have so infiltrated who you are. And you allow that to happen. You rise up. You rise up with all you know. You might just know that verse. You might just know that you went to church today. That might be all you know. That's enough. Allow the Lord to use you. Allow him to use you to be a mouthpiece to somebody else that says, Jesus loves you. God loves you. How about just smile? A rare commodity. But that's only the beginning of where the Lord wants to take us. The ultimate goal is to reinstate people back to him. Amen? Oh, I have so much more to say. I didn't even get on one more. We'll save it for next week. The two words that came to me. I got up this morning. And we're going to go ahead and take communion. But before we do that, two words came to me this morning. And it was, this is how the Lord works. But when Misty was talking, I thought, boy, Lord, you're speaking right, my message through Misty. What she got, when she went all the way to Oklahoma for, he stuck at me this morning. I walked out of my bed this morning at 6 a.m. and I started walking into the kitchen to make myself coffee. And I thought, oh, Lord, what would you have me to say to the people today? And I have my mess. I have what I think you told me, but Lord, I'm not willing to leave it all for whatever you want to say. I don't care. Just disrupt it. Disrupt it. Because I want you, Father, to speak. And these two words he gave me, which we talked about, and that's unworthy. He said, tell them they're not unworthy, and I didn't disqualify them. I didn't disqualify them. You've been made worthy, and he didn't disqualify you. So don't believe those lies. Closing today, I just want to read a little quick excerpt out of this book called Two Kinds of Righteousness by E.W. Kenyon. The church does not appreciate what she is, as declared in the Word. We have been taught that we were unworthy and unrighteous, that we were weak and had no faith, for so long that it has become a chronic disease. We look with fear upon any message that brings relief, unless it is a message of works. We dream that if we could sacrifice something or pray long and hard enough or confess our sins deeply enough, then perhaps in some way we might be able to get our spiritual lives straightened out. The whole thing is wrong. Righteousness is not gained by works, by repentance, by crying, or by weeping. Neither does it come by the way of begging. It comes only by the way of faith. Man has always sought to achieve righteousness by works. If we thought we could become the righteousness of God by praying for a certain number of hours, we would do it. If we were told that someone had obtained righteousness by confessing all his sins since childhood and making restitution for them, we would be willing to make the effort. But righteousness does not come that way. It comes by faith, not by your work, but by Christ's work. It does not come by your tears, but by the tears of Christ. If every one of us knew that we had righteousness in us, we would become entirely independent of our circumstances. If we were as conscious of being the righteousness of God as we are conscious of being weak and unworthy, we would not be sick any longer. We would not be held in bondage to want or in poverty. If we were conscious of our identification with Jesus Christ and our oneness with Him as we are conscious of physical pain and need, we would never experience pain or mention our needs ever again. This new sense of righteousness, this new fact of righteousness, this new discovery of our being the righteousness of God in Christ gives us a new sense of freedom in Christ. It utterly destroys sin consciousness and our consciousness of weakness and of want. In their place has come the all-absorbing reality of Christ. We know that He is our righteousness and that we are the righteousness of God in Him. He is with us in all His ability and strength, in all His completeness and fullness. We're not afraid of circumstances. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your word. Father, I declare freedom over Your church here today. Those things that they came in bondage in, I declare they're free of right now in Jesus' name. Because of Your word, Father, not because of me, but because of Your word that has washed over each of us. Oh, Father, we thank You for the cleansing of Your word. We thank You for the truth of Your word that sets us free. And Father, we give You praise and we give You honor and we give You glory. Jesus' name.